would like to suggest, and I'm sure it's not the exercise of the brethren, but the scripture gave us many reasons why the Lord has to be raised from the dead. And I don't want to discuss it because I would say at least there are 12 reasons in the scripture why Christ had to be raised. But it is very unique in the Gospel of John of how the Spirit of God will tell us about this resurrection in light of individuals and company. It's never recorded in the other Gospels. The communications that we have as the Gospel of John. If you read carefully about the tomb, you'll understand something very unique for the Gospel of John. And I want to give one of these major reasons why Christ had to be raised from amongst the dead. When we are ushered into John 20, we would read about Mary that they have taken away the stone. In the other Gospels, it is they rolled away. It's not the same word. But in the Gospel of John only, the thought behind it that they have taken away the stone. Why is it that the scripture highlights the away? Because it is the same competent person that will take away the sin of this world is the same word that is used in resurrection to display the greatness of his person, because it is only in the Gospel of John. He said, destroy this temple. Dear brethren, I'm going to tell you, it's in the Gospel of John. For some that know me, I will never give you the reference. But I'll tell you the book. Look for it. But when you go to the Gospel of John, and I'll give you a chapter. How's that? Chapter 2, that he says, destroy this temple and I would raise it on the third day. That's why the one who is able and competent to take away the sin of the world is the same competent divine person who will take the stone away, never to be seen again. So why is it that in the Gospel of John we have the first exchange with Mary? I want you to think of dividing the Gospel of John into this way. There are many ways to divide it, but I just want to bring it to Mary. You remember the Hebrew servant in the book of Exodus, what he says, I love my master. When you come to the end of John 14, that the world may know I love who? The Father. But he doesn't stop there. He loves his wife. That the scripture tells us he loved his own in the same gospel, chapter 13. He loved them to the uttermost, to the end. And then when you come to the third one, he says, I love my children. And this is the greatest display of that blessed one loving his children. Why do I say that? Because only in this gospel, he has this record that he's talking to Mary, he's dealing with Thomas, and he's restoring Peter. Why does he love his children? Because he restored the hope of Mary. He restored the faith of Thomas. And he restored the love of Peter. That's the kind of blessed person that we have as far as the Gospel of John. And you would say, well, Brother John, you said she wasn't impressed with the angels. In the U.S., there was a show that occupied the media, and every time we take the news, it's about touched by an angel. Was so big. Mary did not have any desire to be touched by an angel. She wasn't impressed with it. But why the scripture, in a unique way, would say there was an angel at the head, and there was an angel at the feet. We all believe that's inspiration of the scripture. As if to say there are two elements that the angel is speaking to us. Because as we have mentioned, the disciples never understood resurrection. Even when they saw the Lord. In the following chapter, they didn't know it was the Lord. The confirmation of resurrection that took hold of the disciples. It was when the Spirit of God indwelled the saints of God. But you might say to yourself, why the head? The angels were revealing a new thing, a new creation, a new head for that creation. It was the head. The old creation, everything was created, and at the end of the creation, the head of creation was made. But in this new creation, the head comes first. And from the head, everything flows for the new creation. How about the feet? I would like to suggest that these angels once sat at that feet because they had a message to all the saints of God. That this same Jesus, this blessed one, God has invited him, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. He has placed all things under his feet. A new head, But also God makes sure everything is under his feet. And I will close with this. My Lord. When she first saw the stone taken away because the Lord took it. And by the way, the stone is not taken or rolled away because just to see that somebody need to help the Lord Jesus. They have to roll it. It was for you and for me to see an empty tomb that he's been indeed risen. But earlier she said, when she ran to Peter and John, she said, they have taken away the Lord. She brought everyone into it. But over here, they have taken away my Lord. I think we know it, but it's always to be reminded of it. In the New Testament, there are four individuals that acknowledge the Lord Jesus as my Lord. And dear sisters, listen to this carefully. It was two sisters and two brothers. Two sisters, two brothers. That tells me that all these divine things and scriptural truth is for both brothers and sisters alike on equal ground. The roles are different. That's okay, but everything that we have from the scripture is equal to all of us. The first one is Elizabeth. Who am I that the mother of my Lord? My Lord. The second one is Mary. They have taken away my Lord. The third one is Thomas. My Lord and my God. The fourth one is Paul. When he said in the epistle to Philippians, when he was talking about the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And you would say, why am I highlighting these four? Because there is a trend, there is a thread that you need to see. The Lord Jesus never ceased to be Lord at any time in his life. When he was in the womb, he was my Lord. When he was in the tomb dead, he was my Lord. Mary was seeking a dead person. But he was to her, my Lord, because he never ceased to be Lord. He never ceased to be King. He never ceased to be God. And he never ceased to be Lord in the birth, Lord in death, Lord in resurrection. Because Thomas, when he uttered my Lord, it was in resurrection. And when Paul uttered my Lord, he was in glory. So put it together. He never ceased to be Lord. And you would say, well, but there is a part that's missing. How about the millennium? There was a fifth person, but in a way of prophetic, Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand. Dear brethren, resurrection has brought the greatness of this blessed Lord. And I trust that every single one of them can have this personal relationship, not our Lord. We come under the umbrella of all of us, but to have this personal relationship that he is indeed my Lord.